And welcome back. This is Two Coaches, One Grizz. I'm Frank Morales with my coach emeritus, Gil Laura, the fanatic, Mario Mesa, the Grizz, and our esteemed producer, AC Anthony Carabata. Gentlemen, what a wild card weekend, super wild card weekend it was. We had ridiculous meltdowns, other teams rising to the equations. To the occasion, I should say.
To the equation? Are we doing math?
Yeah, we're doing math.
Is that what we're doing?
Well, there is going to be some math here.
I'm just making sure.
You know, some foggy futures ahead for some quarterbacks, old and young. So let's jump right into it with the Saturday games. Seattle Seahawks, 23. The 49ers, 41.
Gino.
As Grizz said off air, it was a tale of two halves, right? So let's jump right into it. Coach, what do we got here? What are your thoughts?
Gino became Gino in the second half. Gino played a super nice first half. I thought Seattle dominated the first half. They ran the ball. The defense did a good job of keeping everything where it needed to be. And they just imploded after that first 49ers drive. 49ers got the ball in the beginning of the third quarter, took it down, nice drive, touchdown. They were coming back and it looked like they were going to answer. So great drive coming back, fumble, Bozak recovers, it's all over, but they're crying.
Grizz?
No, that's it. Tale of two halves, tale of two careers. Gino started the first half as a great season as it
MVP,
was.
MVP, the comeback player of the year.
Yeah, but the second MVP half is why we remember why Gino
Smith West Virginia Gino
in this position. And the sad thing was they had it. It's 17-16, like you said. Up one, I was pleasantly surprised. 15.5. I can't believe that. Anyways, I mean, this is just all you want from them is just to play it close. Thinking, you know, all year long, this is how it's been. It's been tough. Like Gil says, it's hard to beat a team three times.
Divisional opponent, everything's
on the line.
Everything's right there.
And you got Brock Purdy. It's not like we got, you know, the second coming of Joe Montana and Steve Young is Brock Purdy, but second half, he looks like that. I mean, the guy, what, threw for three touchdowns?
No, let me tell you something. The second half,
looking great.
When he got rid of the ball twice, once to McCaffrey, another time to the other running back. I mean, he looked so well.
And let's also say he's not a backup that's playing to just game manage for a great
team. No.
He takes chances.
He's slinging it.
And
he almost got picked off twice, and it didn't happen.
I got to tell you that I become more and more impressed with this team at the run that they're going on and what they're evolving into. Brock Purdy is starting to prove to us that he is legit. 332 yards passing in the game, three touchdowns. Okay. Christian McCaffrey, that pickup becomes more and more valuable as this goes along. 15 carries, 119 yards. And then when they're, second half, hey, let's close out the game. And listen, the head coach, Brian Schottenheimer, right? Am I getting that right? I'm wigging out here. Okay. That play design.
Shanahan.
There you go. Wow.
You went deep with Schottenheimer. You went with Schottenheimer.
Listen, his play design's on the ground.
No, he does a great job.
Oh my God. Like that motion, that jet motion, outside sweep, night with the crack to the mic backer. Beautiful. Beautiful play design.
I'll tell you what, I love when he goes ahead and pulls the fullback and the tight end. That's very nice. He just gives you a lot in the mix. And he's got legit players, because even Jennings is a good receiver. 85. He's a solid receiver.
And it just goes to show you, right, when you go next level with this, right, they had to use Debo, you know, in a dual role here. But now that they got McCaffrey on the ground, a little Elijah Mitchell, right?
But Debo still got a few carries.
Yeah. Debo's
now doing exactly what Debo was supposed to do.
But Debo with six receptions and 133 yards in the air. You know, so like they're becoming
good to be healthy at the right time too.
Yeah. They're becoming more and more formidable, and then, you know, it helps when you have a Bosa to help close out the game for you as well.
They have the best defense in the league right now. And everything around the quarterback is top notch. I mean, right now, they have been the best team in the league for the last few weeks. I mean, they're a juggernaut. And, you know, we're going to see now coming up with the next game what happens. But right now, there's no team playing better. And that's what you want when you're in the playoffs, man, to be hot and you carry a defense like that with you, it's just, you're in every game. And that's another reason I think this kid is slinging it. He's like, oh, if I get picked off or something, who cares? I got this team behind me. So he has no worries. He's playing with like house money. And
throwing caution to the wind. Yeah, they are scary. They are scary. Yeah, I can't believe I got the Suns mixed up there. It's hilarious. Anyway, let's jump to the second game on Saturday.
Did you get the wrong batch? I told you to get downstairs.
You were close.
Sorry.
You
know what I'm saying? Maybe.
You got to be careful with those cookies downstairs. I cook good cookies.
Oh, good batch. It was a solid batch. Yep.
Grizzly.
Moving on to the night game on Saturday. What a freaking meltdown that was. 27-0 at half.
I'm not gonna lie.
and we got the young Trevor Lawrence. There were four picks, and then comes back perfect second half, four touchdowns, elite performance in the second half, I should say.
I touted the Jacksonville Jaguars. I said, "Oh, you fade the Chargers as favorites, take the Jaguars." Blah 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 blah. When it went to 24-0, I went to Prime. I started watching Jack Ryan. Listen, I couldn't. I just couldn't.
Everybody
couldn't take it anymore.
Listen, 27-0, whatever the score is there, it's over. It's over.
Were you listening to me?
Yes.
Because I said that to myself over, 25
but
times.
It doesn't matter. It's over.
It's over. It's ridiculous. It's over. I can't believe this. How can this guy lay an egg like this? What's going on?
Then we remember it's the Chargers.
Then they remembered.
You know, they're the Chargers. They remember, what are we doing? Why is this happening? Why are we winning?
We don't play like this.
This is not what we do.
We don't do what we're supposed to do.
You know, that touchdown before the half was key. Get yourself that momentum. Make it. Remember, you got to, like, once you're down that point, my assumption is we got to start playing within, you know, making a quarter in little blocks to get here, get there, 27-7. Then you come out right after the third. And you only down two touchdowns right before, like, 6 minutes to go in the third. It's not 27-0 anymore. It's
right
in your
now
head.
It changes.
It's
it changes.
And then knowing that, once again, you're looking at the Chargers. So you got hope.
Hi, Coach Daly.
Yeah.
Hi, Coach. I know you're going to do something
first
stupid.
First of all,
Don't worry.
Lucky that guy has a job. They got rid of the OC today. And that's, I think, you know, obviously he should be gone too. But that's a scapegoat. Take that head coach and all his little philosophies. And I'm smarter than you. You're not. You're not that smart. You're just another guy. Relax, bro. Like, I get it. You're innovative. You want to be cool. I'm going to 49, 41 at the 19. I'm out. Yeah, no. Pump ball. Do things correct. Hey, every now and then, you got to feel I get you. But no. How about finish a game 27-0,
Williams.
Mike Williams. Yeah, the week before. How you start that guy?
Why do you play him?
You're mean this game?
You know that guy gets hurt breathing sometimes. Keep him on the sideline. Let him rest.
Yeah.
Give him his little Gatorade bottle. Put a little hoodie on him. Hey, talk to the receivers, all right? Coach him up. Help us. Make him feel good. That way the guy's ready the next week.
What a garbage.
But no. And then it's a broken vertebrae. Like, he's got a fractured vertebrae.
Yeah, he's done.
Like, he's screwed.
Regardless, he's
done. No, screwed.
Even if they move on, he's done.
You screwed that guy over. Like, you're a moron. And yet, like Chris said, he still has a job today. They fired the OC, which, again, they didn't run the ball. I don't
know. There's a lot of.
It's like you and I, we argued a couple weeks ago about running. There's a time and a place in the NFL where you need to run the football.
You got to shorten the game there in the second.
You got to put the pressure on the other team to stop you and then to come and drive the field.
Quarterback and the quarterback coach and OC get fired, right? Which I think is unfortunate. But yes, I think we agree here. You got to shorten the game. Okay, you have a top-tier NFL running back. I don't understand how NFL coaches get so enamored with their quarterbacks. Yes, you have an all-world dude there, but you're up 27-0. Protect the lead.
They could have gotten the game plan from the bowl game when he ran and he slid. I mean, he looked like an athlete that game.
So, we're gonna preview the games going forward. We do have to give some credit to Trevor Lawrence in not completely like imploding after that first half, maintaining his confidence, coming out and, you know, showing on the biggest game he's ever had in his career what his talent is, why he got drafted.
I have to say, he also started the game getting picked off four times in the first half.
But that's what I'm saying.
No, but he bounced back.
Like, for the fact that someone gets picked off, that's another, like, slap in the face to the Chargers. Four picks of a quarterback, and that quarterback beats you.
By the way, they have two two decent backup running backs in Joshua Kelly and Isaiah Spiller.
Right.
Like, they don't have just Austin Eckler.
Yeah, these aren't just regular Joes.
They can go in there and spell Eckler and get some tough yards. And
the Chargers are the type of team, just, you got to take time off the clock, and they're hiking the ball with 20 seconds on the clock. I mean, I wish we could switch. Well, we're going to talk about the next game, about time management and delay games.
Right, and you talk...
Wish this was the case.
And Coach, you talk about this, right? And this is something that we talked about in our philosophies when we coach together. Like, motion into double tight end, pack it in, right? Take some time off the clock, right?
Pound it for 3 or 4. Out. You got,
but
you
then
got
motion her, back in.
Like, right? Say you got Herbert. You can spread them out 4 quicks, make it look like you're gonna throw with them, and hand it
especially
off.
Against a young defense, right? That will freak out to the you know, readjustment.
Yeah.
You know,
how many times don't they motion across, fake the screen, give the running back? I mean, for goodness sakes.
All these excuses. You're up 27 and nothing, man. Terrible. There's no scenario where this should be a loss.
So, to close this out, choke job or phenomenal comeback? I think the answer is yes on both.
Correct. Well, obviously, I agree. I think it's both.
It's both, but I lean more to the Chargers.
But when you only score 3 points in the second half, with that offense, it's ridiculous.
What happened to getting 27 the first?
That's ridiculous.
So, yeah. I consider it more of a Charger choke job.
And again,
job, but
we did talk about that last week when we talked about the Jaguars. We said, or I mentioned it, I'm taking them on coaching. Because I think that...
You did say that.
Peterson, I mean, Staley's going to blow it. Whereas Peterson's going to go for it. And Grizz and I talked about it. He's going to know when to go for it. He's going to have a good feel for it. And when to do it at the right time.
Peterson's a guy that
takes chances too. Correct. But he does it at the right time.
But he knows when
to do it. Exactly.
He's also got a ring on his finger, so that helps out a little bit, too.
Oh, but listen, he's always been a good coach. He's always been a good OC. He's always done good things.
So let's jump to Sunday and a little bit more inexperience on one side of the ball, right? Dolphins, Bills, right? Bills squeeze it out 34-31 against a third-string quarterback and first-year head coach in the Dolphins. Valiant effort by the Dolphins. There was a time there where I'm like, oh my God, they might actually pull this one out.
We went from, oh my God, we're getting blown. This is disgusting. It's over. We went from, I'm almost saying it's over, to, man, we're in a game. But we came back. Oh man, this is great. It was fun. It was fun to watch.
I was pleasantly surprised. Once again, the motto for this year was at least every game that I watch my team, I had a fun time watching. I can't say that about any other year than my Marino years. Every game was fun, win or lose. This was a fun game. However, at no point did I think we were winning this game, even when we were winning. Because it's just, I didn't see exactly this be the problem, the delay of game. That's the biggest issue. But I just, you know, I felt like obviously Skyler third, he's going to make a bad play or something's going to happen. The Bills are what the Bills do. They do come back, salvage the victory. But, man, the fact that you're losing, like because of delayed game, especially that one where it's fourth down, they reset clock.
Fourth and one.
You had a total of 51 seconds to get this call off. And it's still delayed game. That's just...
At some point, it's got to be ingrained in your head as an offensive play caller. Like, you already know what your go-to play. It should be there. But you have two or three go-to plays there. Pick one and let's rock.
But I'm not going to lie. I think that these young head coaches that are both head coach and OC, they struggle with that.
It's a lot to manage.
They struggle with that. You see the older guys have a better handle of it and are able to manage the game and manage the play calling much better than the younger guys. And you see the mistakes in delay of games.
Right.
You see, because even the Chargers had issues. And like everybody who has a young coach who's a coordinator, whether he's a defense coordinator or OC, they tend to struggle with clock management. And that's something that, I mean, McDaniels, yes, he's our head coach and he's our OC, but he really needs to find either someone to go, hey, bro, get the call in now and listen to him and not get pissed. Understand the situation.
In my experience, and I think you would agree with this, I think that's where an experienced special teams coordinator comes in, who is very adept at knowing all situations in a game and is good with management of the entire game, because they have to be aware of all situations. You have to have that mature.
To me, it's
to
have an old guy, one of the older guys. You know, just he's on there. That's his job. His job is to keep you moving.
Now, quick stat that jumps out in this game, in the scenario, you know, going forward, which is going to be questionable for the Bills, is in the second half of the season, including this game in the playoffs, Josh Allen has accounted for a total of 32 turnovers, 16 interceptions, 16 fumbles. That is extremely concerning, especially where their aspirations are not just, hey, let's try to go deep into the playoffs and make a run. No, they have Super Bowl aspirations. They are expected to be there, right? Now, that being said, Josh Allen was great when he needed to be great in that game to secure the victory. But it's a whole different ballgame this next week. We're playing against better teams, more experienced coaching, okay, better all-around talent, right? He's got to eliminate that. And I don't know what it is. You know, in some instances, it looks like he's pressing and doing too much rather than letting the game come to him. It is concerning, right? Because it looks like he's regressed a little bit this season overall than what he was last season.
Well, I mean, again, he has struggled this year with turnovers. That is something that has been an issue, okay? But again, you can't take away that fire and that edge, that chip.
He has a Brett Favre quality.
Correct.
He's very...
Correct.
Takes chances, believes more in himself than anybody else. And also, you know, like, believes that even if you get the ball from me, I'm going to score again. Like I said, the mistakes they did, they should have put 50 on us. They had the first drive of the game. They went for it on fourth down, not caring. They had no respect for us. They could have kicked the field goal, so that didn't happen. That should have been a touchdown. Like, the Bills have... All year, I mean, I think they've only lost the three games by 3 points. Both
right,
of them
they've been very close losses.
Yeah, so like they're just as good as to be undefeated, or they could just have very well lost three or four more games. Now the real test comes up. Yes, the big boys. This was their warm up, and they
primer.
Didn't play the warm up.
The primer.
They didn't play the warm up how they should have. They really should have beat this team by. When it was 17-0, that should have been the final score, like 17-point win.
But again, at that juncture, I think that what happens is, like everything else, I think that they relaxed. They got caught up in the moment. They've
been doing that the whole season, pretty much. They've just relaxed when they shouldn't. They weren't putting the foot to the throat. The first couple games of the season before they played us, they destroyed the Rams, destroyed the Titans. That's how they played last year most of the time.
Right.
They were just, there's no doubt. And as we could see, 17-0, 27-0 aren't leads anymore that you could, like, hey, man, I'm tired of, hey, you know, don't score too much and run up the score. Put 50 on people.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, people don't give up. They're going to play their hearts out.
This isn't high school or even college ball where, like, you pretty much have the lead in hand there. Like, these are professionals on both sides, coaching, and players. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to let up.
I mean.
No, you let up in the fourth quarter.
Let's be honest.
The fourth quarter is your 15 minutes.
But the last 10 years.
To kind of a little bit, if you're up by 28 points.
Yeah. Not even. The last 5 to 10 years, there's been more of this coming back than ever before.
And that's a great point.
Like, because I don't know what it feels. It just feels, especially with the offenses just throwing all the time, you're never out of it. It's like the three-pointer in the NBA. Like, the evolution of, hey, we're going to pass every down. Hey, four touchdowns, no problem. We're in it.
Yeah.
You got to start thinking. You know, it's not 27-0. It's just four scores. 1, 2. It's not insurmountable in your head if you think of it like that and break it down.
And I'm sure somebody somewhere has already come up with this analytic, right? We talked about equations, fun, you know, right at the beginning of the show. Somebody's come up with this analytic. Like it's. I'm sure that it's calculable what the, you know, the lengthening of the game because of the evolution of the pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, it lengthens the game exponentially.
Okay, what happens is, and it's not that, and that's why you see the hurry-up offenses and teams get more plays in the game by using that no huddle.
The volume.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's volume of plays. But again, going back to the situation at hand is, a lot of teams, as we mentioned before with the Chargers, they start shortening the game in the third quarter. No, you have to stay aggressive in the third quarter when you're ahead. Once you get past that third quarter that you hit the fourth, then you can get into time-killing
philosophy. There's no more time left. You're done.
Now the other team is against you and the clock.
Yeah, if you're up 27 entering the fourth quarter, you should be good. Even then, No, we're getting teams that still, but don't,
they can get touchy.
Yeah,
but again, if you do things the right way, the time will run out.
They shouldn't even started slow. Like I said, the second quarter, you got the touchdown that brings you 27. That already is your red flag. Like, hey, shit. Not to mention, a couple weeks ago, you just saw 33-0. You know what I'm saying? It's just these players play so these coaches. I don't know. Like I would basically like run every play. I take it down to 2 seconds every play.
The other thing the other thing I thought about too was that perhaps when they got up 17-0, they started not using the plays that they were using.
They started condensing the playbook.
They start condensing the playbook because we're gonna win. We're gonna play.
Let's keep some stuff in our back pocket.
Exactly. Now, and I'm saying because in the first quarter, the crossing routes were killing Miami. They were hitting Diggs. They were hitting the tight end. They couldn't stop them. And then all of a sudden, they stopped running them.
I don't know why. I feel like coaches these days should bust out a new playbook called the blowout playbook. Just like, hey, when we're up with 3 touchdowns and up, this is how we're going to play to make sure we don't screw it up. Because it feels like the more you're up, hey, these people don't know what they're doing anymore. Like, what? You got to this 27-0. How do you let it fall down, avalanche itself back? They have to be a part of the other team you're playing.
A part of it is like you start, you know, kind of like you're too smart for your own good. Oh, but let's stick to bread and butter. Let's not stick to the bread and butter.
These people are too smart for their own good when it's a one-score game, you know? Like,
I hear you.
It's just, it should be ingrained. Guys, these people come back. They get paid just like you do. They're not going to get, you know, sometimes, yeah, you lose by 50 and these people give up. But I feel that you should not, like Gil said, you got at least 3 quarters where you need to be playing balls to the wall. No, hey, it doesn't matter. Hey, you're down 27. Baby. No, I'm down 27. I know it's just human. It's in us to be like, oh, lackadaisical. Oh, we're up. You know, we're good. Everything's fine. You know, I can relax. I don't know. I just feel like you could never. I don't even coach for a living, but you would never see me lose a 27-0. I make sure of that. Like, everybody's gone. Everybody's gone. I'm gone. We're all gone if I lose 27-0 games. Get out of here.
Well, let's jump to the next game on Sunday. Former offensive coordinator for the Bills, now head coach for the Giants, in his first playoff debut as a head, or his, you know, playoff debut as a head coach, Brian Daboll, didn't let his foot off the gas. Right, Danny Dimes with an elite performance, first quarterback with 300 yards passing and over 70 yards rushing,
and okay, two touchdowns.
and used two touchdowns, used his legs, right. Smart. When he needed it.
Yeah,
all right. They knew early on. Listen, the only thing that's good about the Vikings defense is their pass rush. Because that back seven is clueless. They had no answers.
The only thing good about the Vikings defense is they got to play them. Because they suck and they're frauds.
We are who they said we thought they were. Yeah. Okay? Vikings and this wasn't a primetime game. Well, I mean, essentially it was, spotlight was on them.
But it didn't matter. They just played
this
so
game
bad.
Could have been played bright and sunny.
It could have been
at
10 o'clock
in
the morning. It didn't matter.
The way the Giants started running that ball, hey man, Saquon's in full effect. They used him perfectly. He only got 9 carries, but it was 50 yards. He had the same amount in receiving. He got used perfectly. I thought, you don't overuse him. You use the rush in the perfect time, and then you let your quarterback him run a few times. That kid solidified his starting job for the team.
I mean, we can say that. Run the offense.
You know what I'm saying? We were on the fence. You know, like, he's good enough to lead your team with all the right things around them.
Saquon said it himself. They got themselves an elite quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, we're not there yet. I don't think elite yet is that word.
Everybody's elite.
I don't think he's elite
yet. Everybody's elite.
But is there a chance? This is what the Giants do, by the way. They run off wild card wins and they turn them into divisional wins, then an NFC championship, and here we are at Super Bowl. I don't think we're there yet, but it's a very, very good chance, especially they're going to be playing now. You know, the Eagles is going to be, once again, 3 times. Can you beat them 3 times? And with a hurt Jalen Hurts, not at 100, I think, you got a shot.
Well, that's the thing. I think they had a puncher's chance if Jalen Hurts was 100% healthy. I think now they have a legitimate chance. He's 100% healthy. If he's not 100%.
This also reminds me of...
He did admit a couple days ago that he's probably going to have to play less than 100%.
Well, he's off.
Well, he ended up playing against them, so...
Right. He's not in the injury report.
The fact that he played against them in last game shows me that, yes, he's still hurt, but he's definitely good enough to beat the team. I just... This real quick. This also reminds me of when the Giants played the Patriots that year. They won the Super Bowl, undefeated Patriots. Last game of the year, but they played them tough. And the fact that I think they played the Eagles the last game of the year, played them tough, even though they didn't play a lot of their players. The Eagles had the win, and they were still in it.
Yeah.
So all that bodes well. I think this game is a field goal. I still, you know, when we get to there, I'll tell you who wins. But I just, the Giants are nothing to be, bro. They're in it. They're a very good team.
Now, unfortunately for Cousins, he's going to shoulder the blame for this loss, but he didn't play bad at all. He was 31 for 39, so very efficient. 273. He averaged 7 yards an attempt, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, had an 85 QBR overall, 112 rating.
Defense sucked.
Defense is atrocious.
He still has a lot of problems in my head.
Defense sucked.
How are you going to get Jefferson only 43 yards there?
Listen.
Come on, man. You got to throw that guy 20 passes.
But you can't.
Hockenson had a great game, 10 of 129. But that ain't going to win anything. That ain't going to win nothing.
I don't think you can force a ball. But no, I do have to get on him on 4th and 8. You don't throw a 3-yard pass.
Oh, that was terrible. I don't understand that.
On 4th and 8, you don't throw a 3-yard pass.
And the guy's like right there. It's not like, hey, he has a chance to break. He's going to get tackled.
That's the one caveat that I can't overlook.
So it was explained pretty well on other platforms, right? If you have a mobile quarterback, you know, he gets out of the pressure that's coming up the middle, right? Kind of makes something happen, allows the receivers to get to release on their routes and get out of coverage. Maybe something opens up. But the fact that he's a pure pocket passer, he's got serious pressure up the middle. Right, he's got to let the ball out. It's kind of like muscle memory at that point, right? He's programmed because he knows the offense. He knows the play. He knows where the check down is.
I disagree.
Does he know as a quarterback that he needs to get that first down? But part of it is, too, is like it's auto. No.
Garbage.
No.
Garbage.
Poppycock?
Garbage. That's garbage, I tell you. Garbage.
But he did. But if you look at the play he had, there was serious pressure in his face up the middle.
At that point, as the Grizz just said, I would force it to Jefferson. At that juncture where it's do or die, then I'm forcing it to my number one guy. If he can come up with the ball, great. If he can't, why don't we lose?
He forced a 4th and 18 to Jefferson against Buffalo.
I'm throwing it to him.
I don't care.
I'm not dumping it. I'm 4th and 3. What kind of pressure I'm getting? That's a cop.
I'd rather throw it up like a punt. But in that guy's general direction, I have at least a 50-50 chance he comes up with it.
All right. And then we get a first down. We keep going. Yep.
Let's go ahead and jump to the primetime game here. The Bengals squeeze it out 24-17 against the Ravens. I think this was a game that was pretty much decided by the lack of the elite starting quarterbacks that the Ravens have not being available, not even traveling with the team.
Sir, this game turned on one play. One play.
The Ravens had nothing to do
with the elite quarterback.
It had
nothing to do with that guy. It had to do with, it's a 2-yard quarterback sneak.
He's such a hater.
And we try to put the football out and keep it out there. Like, here, guys, it's here, 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 hold it.
You don't believe that they had Lamar Jackson, they win that game?
No.
They could.
Same thing.
They could. It's not guaranteed. They could.
Ace, I need you to do some, look up the stats for Lamar Jackson when he's in the lineup. Because we're going to get back to this. However... Okay, I thought the Bengals were going to pull it out as well, right? Especially with Lamar not traveling with the team.
I'm just mad they took 6.5, not 8.5. Because I knew they weren't going to cover. But they covered the 6.5. So I was wrong there.
Here's the thing. Bengals offensive line, no bueno. I think it may be rough for them this coming week. We're going to talk about that.
I'm hoping.
It wasn't good last year. Look where they got them.
Let's pivot here, right? Because this kind of game, it lands on the shoulders of the quarterback play for the Ravens. What do you think is the future there for Lamar Jackson, and what do you think is going to go on? Especially that he didn't even travel
with
the team.
I think
he
chose that. And I think that he's wrong in the way he's going about this. Okay? He's trying to get Deshaun Watson guaranteed money. Okay? He has to understand that that contract is an outlier. No one in the NFL is going to give out that contract. Regardless of what you say about the cap and the percentage, and no one's going to give out another $230, $240 million guaranteed contract.
Yes, you are correct. But he commands his money.
He does not command $230. Much less to a quarterback who's an athlete, whose strength is his athleticism.
The best of Lamar Jackson is over.
Not his throwing ability.
There will be a better version of Lamar Jackson going forward.
It's not his throwing ability because he's not a thrower. If he has to stand in the pocket to throw the ball, he's a done deal. He's proven that.
I disagree with
of
that.
Of course you do because he's elite.
He's
elite.
He is an accurate thrower. Yeah.
To one guy.
False.
To Mark Andrews.
You continue to argue that he is not elite. The guy was a rookie of the year and in the second year was an MVP. Like
he had two good seasons.
What are you talking about? If the entire Ravens team last year doesn't essentially die.
If my grandmother had wheels, she would have been a bike. Here.
Like they've had injury bug the past couple years. They're not great up front. Like
if Garoppolo wouldn't have broken his ankle, we've never seen Purdy. I got a bunch of ifs.
I hear you.
If Tua doesn't have concussions, they might have won yesterday.
But the fact that you're discrediting his impact on the success of that team is ridiculous.
They have built
that team, everything around him.
Around him. I am not discounting that.
That guy has everything to his likeness.
He is a guy who has to run the ball. His strength comes in running the zone option. Not in dropping back.
And getting your knee
and
hurt.
And slinging it. That's not his strength.
Okay,
for you to say that and for you to argue that is asinine.
We're going to agree to disagree here.
Of course, because he's elite.
He's also been affected, right, by the relative conservatism of that team in the way that they handle the organization.
He's not
going
to be a Raven anymore, don't worry about it.
They traded his best receiver for a first-round pick. They traded his best offensive lineman, a Pro Bowl offensive lineman for another first round pick, right?
But that's what the Ravens do. They get rid of players
to build for long term. But like, those are marquee cornerstones of that offense has affected their ability to be successful.
They're going to get rid of Lamar now.
And the reason they do that, is because he wants to command a whole passel of money. And you have to understand that when you pay one guy X amount of millions of dollars, other guys can't get paid.
Yep.
Other guys are not going to get paid.
He's gone.
And that's been blueprint of every team over the last 10 years. When the quarterback gets his payday, they suck.
I think that there was an easy middle ground here. Instead of 6 years, whatever,
he
guaranteed
was
money. They can do 4 years guaranteed
money. He was offered
money,
he didn't want it.
And negative. You're wrong. He wants... As soon as Deshaun Watson got that Cleveland Brown atrocity, it was all over. Because he wanted that money. That's what he commands.
Listen, I will give you this, that him doing the negotiations himself and representing himself in the situation also doesn't help. Because when there is that agent doing that for you, you're kind of shielded from what they're going to say in that room.
It's not personal.
Right? The only good thing is...
And it's not personal, right? That's the business side.
That's one thing.
The only good thing is when he gets less money, because he will get less money, he doesn't have to split it with an agent. He's good.
Andrew Brand, who was a GM for the Green Bay Packers and was also an agent, he said that. He said the worst thing that he's done is not to have an agent. Because the agent, just like you just said, ends up being the buffer. He doesn't have to hear the pros and the cons.
The people who drafted him.
The pros and the cons. No, it's the pros and the cons. We're in a negotiation. We're going to negotiate. You're saying this, but I got a counterpoint.
Incredible.
So, all that being said, I do think he made the right decision by not trying to hobble out there.
I mean, it is what it is.
To protect his longevity.
I don't know if it was right or wrong, because I don't know how healthy he was. That I'm going to leave it there. Because he might have been healthy enough to play. I don't know.
Heard. Now, let's jump to the Monday night game, right? Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Cowboys, Bucks. More about the Cowboys or more so the atrocity that was the Bucks this year?
I mean, again, I think it's a little bit of a combination of both. But I do think that the Cowboys did a good job.
You think they exercised some demons?
Of overcoming, yes. I think that
You win your first road game in 30 years, you exercise something.
I think Dak came out with some jitters.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It was ugly there. First two drives.
It was. He had some jitters. And I think things got settled down. I think that Kellen Moore finally, the light bulb went off and said, man, let me give Pollard the ball on sweeps and let him touch the ball like about six times because this kid's an animal.
Not that they were not going to win, but once again this year for the Bucs, it feels like that one play that screws them over. Like, remember the Mike Evans drop? What, they got blown out, but who knows? It could have been different. You catch it for a touchdown. Same thing here. Brady doesn't throw picks in the red zone. Then he throws that, which could have tied it. Obviously, would have took the lead because of the missing.
But I knew he was going to do that. I knew he was going to do that. You know why?
Well, because he got jinxed by the commentator.
The kibosh.
The kibosh. He hasn't missed a free throw in 20. Clink. Those guys suck. I can't stand those guys. Oh, he hasn't thrown a pick in the red zone in 18 years.
First of all, then.
Pick.
Who kiboshed
it? There it is. And he's trying to throw it away.
Well, what they say it was 2009 with the Patriots something like that. The last time he threw a pick in the red zone, it was like some insane stat like that.
And of course, right on cue.
Right there.
Right on cue. It's incredible. Incredible.
Now, listen, that being said, I don't care who it is. It could be the GOAT or it could be third stringer, Purdy, whoever you want to talk about. Skyler Thompson. You're not going to win a game with 66 passing attempts. That is rough.
He broke the record for the season of throwing pass attempts.
The past 2 years. He broke it last year and then broke it again this year.
The older you get, the more you throw it. This man's arm is made out of Teflon or something. I mean, that's why he's going to keep playing next year. He's like, I just can go on forever. Well,
Steve Young's made a good point, right? He's like, it's not about the ability. Like, you saw him. He goes, I saw him in warmups. Guy can make every throw still. It's there. It's more so the emotional acumen and wear and tear. Like, does he have that? Right? Does he want to go through that emotional grind again? Because that is a real thing. At 45 years old, all options are open.
I'll tell you what my take on it is. I mean, again, he's had a rough season. The whole separation, divorce, all those things were not easy. But I do see him. I don't know if it's the brain thinks it and the arm is slow in throwing it. You get me? Or if it's even slow in computing the play. But he is off just
a hair.
That much.
Just a tad. It also doesn't help that their offensive line took a step back this year. Injuries, but again, all that stuff.
Again,
takes him off his
He seems to be off. His throws are off. If you take a look at it, you look at it the whole season. He's had guys open and it's bad throw. It's a throw in the dirt. It's just he's made bad throws at the wrong time. And these are and it's not a throw that he can't make.
Right.
But it's at that moment that you got to process and get it there.
I do. Yeah. I mean, you're right. And I think you can also see that in certain situations, you can see that he presses more so than like he's ever. Like, that's a guy that doesn't press or force it.
He's a competitor. Yeah. Well, the problem is he's a competitor. And he wants to win, man. He wants to prove to people he can still win.
Do we see him next year?
I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens here. I do have an inkling that I don't think he wants to go out with this kind of a season. I think he'll go out with a 12-4, 12-5 season, 11-6, conference championship, divisional round. Then I think he can leave on that note. Not on 8-9, 9-8, whatever the hell it was.
Because this was legitimately the worst division winner in the history of the NFL in the worst division in the history of the NFL.
Horrible.
But that being said, I also won't be surprised. And I said this on another chat last night. I also wouldn't be surprised if we see him starting his 40th season in the NFL for like an expansion team, like the Mexico City Tequileros or something that.
No.
Brady, 55 years old, you know, starting a new franchise, slinging it.
He's not playing for the Quesadilla Specials.
Yeah.
No. So, no, he's not going to the XFL. He's not. No. No, no. I just think he wants to have a better season to go off on.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So it's going to be interesting, right? It's going to be interesting to see what he does this offseason. I do think he's going to take his time. But again, time will tell, right? So we're going to be right back with our preview of the divisional round this weekend. And we're back to preview the best weekend in football in the entire season, this weekend's divisional round of the playoffs. We got some interesting matchups here. All right, we're going to go right off the top. Jacksonville going to Kansas City, right, at 4:30 on Saturday. Grizz, initial thoughts, give them to me.
I mean, this is the best weekend by far. All the games last year, probably the best four games divisional weekend in the history of the NFL. I'm going to start off with a clunker, though. I believe the Chiefs are going to end the Jags season very sadly, double digits minimum. I want it to be close to. I'm a fan. I like the Jags. I didn't expect them to win that game against the Chargers the way they did. I had them, you know, at least covering like Gil did. But, I mean, this is the Chiefs. And I think last year not winning against the Bengals, you know, the Super Bowl the year before, I think they need to hey, we got to get things back on order here. We got to show the league what we're about. And, you know, if Patrick Mahomes wants to start getting into that level of I'm one of the greatest of all times, this is where we start stacking up these titles. And I just think it'll be a close game. And I just think the Chiefs, they're not going to – they're up 27-0. Don't you worry about it. There ain't no coming back on them. They're the type, if you remember a couple years ago, they would start off slow and they would make the comebacks. I could see, you know, maybe there's a Jag lead the first quarter, the second quarter, but I think Patrick Mahomes and company just figure them out. I see at least a 17-point win here.
Yeah, so I do believe the Jaguars, they're going to ride, you know, some confidence and momentum that they earned this past weekend, right, in their comeback. But by the middle of the second quarter, I think it starts to get a little ugly. I think the game starts to get away from them. But who knows, right? Puncher's chance as always. It is the NFL, right? What say you, Coach Emeritus?
I'm going to give you a couple of stats. I'm just going to give you a couple of trends. Since 2003, number one seeds in the divisional round have gone 13-25-1 ATS.
Ooh.
Okay. Mr. Patrick Mahomes, in the last three seasons, when he is favored by 7 points or more, is 11-18 ATS. I'm not saying Kansas City is not going to win. I've got them winning. I've teased the game for them to win. But I also took the Jacksonville Jaguars to cover the 8.5. I do think that they're going to fight it out. I do think that they're good enough to keep it within a touchdown. I think that this weekend, the game on Saturday, gives Trevor Lawrence another learning step. I think he understands and can see his mistakes. I think Peterson's going to sit down with him, go over things so he can understand where he forced the ball at, what he did that made bad throws. Because without those four turnovers, it's a completely different ballgame. He threw the four inside the 30-yard line, I think. I mean,
they were driving the ball, right?
It was ridiculous. It was inside. No, but they inside their own 30. Inside his own 30, he threw two of them or three. So it was disgusting. So I do think that they keep it closer. I think, again, I just think they're a very gritty team. I think they fight. I think they put up a great fight. And they never say die. So that's why one of the reasons I do think that they have a good shot to keep it closer than a touchdown.
Interesting. All right, let's jump to the other game here. I think that was pretty cut and dry. New York Giants traveling over to Philadelphia Eagles. Number one seed against the sixth seed. Okay, this is an in-division opponent. This will be the third time that they meet this season. Okay, I think, again, New York Giants riding a wave of momentum. They are confident in themselves. The entire team, right, performed well, especially on the offensive side. They figured out how to use Barkley. I really like their little pony set where they have their other tailback in there. Kind of give
my little pony.
The little pony set. So you know cute. What the pony set is. So cute. Don't give me that. Where they have two tailbacks in the backfield.
My little pony.
Right? Let the other guys, you know, grind out some tough yards and then let Saquon bust it wide open.
We used to call that wishbone back in my day, not pony.
Well, it's a spread, league, isn't
pony,
it?
The pony.
Now, I said this before. I thought the Giants had a puncher's chance already. I am skeptical as to the health, the overall health of Jalen Hurts. He is not on the injury report, like you said. But all it takes is one hit, and that interior pass rush for the Giants is a problem, right? They get pressure up the middle, so he's going to be flushed out, you know, pretty often. So let's see what happens. Now, I do think that the Eagles' run game can neutralize that to a certain extent because they are one of the top running offenses in the league, if not the top this season. So it's going to be a tough one. Where do you have them at?
Do you know who has the best offensive line in the NFL?
The Eagles.
The Eagles. Exactly. Do you understand that they can grind it out if they need to? They also have their offensive weapons healthy.
Yeah, I mean, their receiving core is elite.
Tight end is healthy. Everybody's healthy for this game. The line is 7.5. And again, I know that sometimes I bore you guys with the stuff that happens. 70% of the tickets are on the Giants. 70% of the tickets.
So let me guess, you're running the other way.
Of course, the line hasn't moved. If you open at 7.5 and 70% of the people are putting money on that team, on the underdog, the line should be at 6.5. Six, or should be at least a point and a half move. When the point's not moving, that means there's big money on the other side holding that up. Because again, Vegas isn't going to keep 7.5. I'm going to keep giving you good money, good points for you to win. No, I'm going to make it harder for you to win. So obviously, something is keeping it at 7.5. And I think the Eagles blow them out. This is my blowout. I got two blowout specials.
This is your blowout special?
I got two blowout specials. I think this is a blowout right here. I think they revert back to the earlier game of the season where they beat them 44-28. Okay? Just like you like to say that a team shot their wad the week before, I think the Giants got everything
out. Did just that?
They got everything. Every little bit out.
Clean as a whistle. What? Huh? Them pipes are smooth.
Clean. Clean. Ain't got none left.
Grizz.
Divisional opponent blowout.
Yes, sir.
Such a rarity coming from.
Yes, sir. I know.
I know. Even a contrarian with himself. Listen,
I am.
He always sticks to the numbers. I do appreciate that. He knows his numbers, and you're not boring us. You teach us, and that's what we're here for. We need to listen to some of these numbers. It's important. However, this is going to be a tight game. This is going to be a bruiser. This is going to be an NFC East battle. This is old school as it comes. This is a Philadelphia win, but a Philadelphia win by a field goal. The Giants will play their hearts out. If they win, I won't be, you know, like I said, I'm the only New York team in any sport I'm a fan of. And I won't see this as, to me, it won't be the biggest upset. It'll be upset because obviously record-wise. But once again, when you know your teams and these are, you know, two teams that dislike each other, anything's possible. Eagles still win by 3.
I'm going to give you a microcosm of what I'm talking about, right?
SAT word of the day.
I've been playing college basketball now, little bit, okay? All I've been basing myself on.
Sprinkling,
real lightly, okay, are betting percentages and line moves. That's it. I'm not handicapping. I'm not doing jack. Tonight, Houston played Tulane at Tulane. Houston was favored by, the line opened at 10, went up to 11. 75-80% of the bets were on Tulane to cover. The line went from 11 to 10.5. Guess what the score is, or was, or it ended. Houston 80, Tulane 60. They won by 20.
Because follow the numbers, baby.
Because again, for whatever reason, that crap works. And that's why I'm saying if all that money's on the Giants, the line should move accordingly. By the line not moving, by the line staying at 7.5, I lean that way. We'll see what happens as we get closer to Friday. Mm-hmm. Okay, if it goes to 8, oh boy. No, oh boy. If it goes to 8, you might even look at the alternative line if you get interested. Okay, and sprinkle a little bit something there.
So here's my analysis, right? Like we talked about.
Oh, you know, and by the way, I'm sorry. The Philadelphia defense is pretty good.
Right.
Pretty damn good.
Their secondary is secondary in the league.
Pretty damn good.
Just to throw that out there.
All right. So,
which plays exactly into what I was going to say, right? You had mentioned before that Philadelphia can grind it out. They have the best offensive line in the league, et cetera, and so on. However, I think that in this game, if they turn that into a slobber knocker of a game, like you like to say, right, that it's going to be a physical game, I think that gives the Giants the edge. I think the way that Philadelphia has to approach this is to turn it into a track meet, because that's where they are. But they're orders also, of magnitude more superior.
But they're obviously also a great running team, so I think they
But if you pack it in, that's what gives the Giants a better shot.
No, but I'm not talking about the pack. You don't have to pack it in. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about about packing it in.
I think it comes also down to the Eagles all year been the best team in the league, basically record wise, or how they've been. You know, they started out super hot, not losing a game, maybe one in the first team. You get like to that point where you're like, can we get this regular season over with and start the playoffs? So they've been in like this limbo for the last few weeks, months. Right. That's why it's at least I think it was good that Hurts got to play. Because if he didn't, that would have been 5 weeks not playing.
Right.
And, you know, you come out really rusty at least a couple weeks ago. Now you get your bye week again. So you got two week byes, if I look at it that way. I just think it just has to be, again, a perfect game for the Giants. They're not playing the Minnesota Vikings. You know, this is an outdoor game. This is going to be probably, I don't know, the weather report. You know, could have a little bit of wind. It's Philadelphia in January. So it's going to be important, I think, for this to be a running game. I could see the under in this game. It's going to be even if the Eagles blow them out, like you say, Gil, I just think, I don't know, the Giants, they're going to have this game to the third quarter tied at least. And if the Eagles maybe, you know, finish off in the last quarter. But I just think it's going to be one of those games where Eagles win with a drive.
I went back to their first game. They ran the ball 31 times against the Giants. They dominated them on the ground. They had an 8.2 yard per rush. And the Giants are bad against the rush. They're horrible. They're one of the worst teams in the league against the rush. So that's my contention. I think that the Eagles have way too much firepower for the Giants. And like I said, just by like the lack of movement in the line concerns me.
Right.
And again, and they're a popular favorite, which is like a kiss of death.
No, 100%. All right, let's jump over to Divisional Sunday. We got the Bengals going to the Buffalo Bills. Listen, this has, I believe, probably the chance to be the best game of the weekend. I think Joe Burrow's, Joe Cool, right? All the intangibles versus the All-American, you know, superstar at quarterback that everybody has already anointed, you know, the next best thing. Okay? What concerns me with the Bengals is that their offensive line is banged up, which may affect Joe Burrow's. Now, that being said, the Buffalo Bills, they don't have the same pass rush that they had last year, which made them extremely effective in the playoffs. Okay? But it is still a very aggressive defense. The X factors are going to come down to the dudes on the outside, right? Both have elite top-tier wide receivers. That's where I think this game is going to come down to, right? Who can make the biggest throw-up 50-50 ball play? Thoughts, Grizz?
Well, both teams had kind of hiccup games last week. They weren't at their best. So I think wake-up call for both. Now we get to finish this game that was canceled a few weeks ago, which I think was 7-3 at the time of the cancellation. And at that moment, it looked like it was, you know, it's early, it's first quarter, but it was looking like the Bengals were playing on all cylinders. They are the hotter team. They've basically, they started 0-2. So they've, like I said, they've only lost two games since that start. Bills are home. And home field, yes, is a little overrated sometimes, but this is Buffalo. I think they've only lost one game in 50 years at home in the playoffs. And it's going to be another game where it comes down to the end. And Joe Burrow, I think, is the better quarterback down the road. But right now, at home, Josh Allen, unless he does the Josh Allen things where he's
taking
chances when he shouldn't. You know, I think the running game will be a little bit more important. I think he should get his legs in this game a little bit more because him as a runner is devastating. Yeah, it's what team is going to have the ball last? This is one of those games.
Yeah, now that being said, just spark a little bit of healthy debate here. The Cincinnati Bengals did go into Kansas City, right, last year and pull that one out. Correct. Right? In probably one of the top two toughest home, you know, field advantages, right, to have to go into him and play.
I think Buffalo's harder.
You think so? Now, granted, the weather factor is...
I just think those fans and that place, are, like I said, they've only lost one playoff game at home in basically ever. So, just saying, it's also the fact that you said the Bengals are going to have a tough time blocking. Remember last year, he got sacked 9 times against the Titans. He's a tough guy. He's the kind of guy that, like, can take it. Those receivers, I give the edge to the Bengals. But I don't know, man. I'm home, Buffalo, last drive, I give it to the Bills.
Coach, what do the numbers say?
Once again, Cincinnati is a popular dog. 74% of the bets, the line opened at 4. It's gone up, although it's moved up to 6, and there's been buyback down back to 5. Okay. Again, I think that Buffalo is the healthier team. I think the offensive line has gone down. There's like 3 guys now that are hurt from Cincinnati's offensive line.
Yeah, we right now, as it stands, we have Jonah Williams, their offensive tackle, and Alex Kappa, their guard, are questionable. So right.
It's early in the week, so they're going to keep it questionable. Again, I don't think they'll play. If they do play, I don't know how long they could last. So again, it's physical. I think Buffalo comes out and makes a statement. I think that they came out last week against the Dolphins. They pitter-pattered. They came out quick, but and then all of a sudden, they fell into a lull. I don't think McDermott will allow that. I think McDermott will have them ready to play. I think Dorsey will throw the edge against the wall and get them going. I think he's going to have things right. I do think that going back to the game on Saturday, I think they're going to sprinkle in a little bit more James Cook because I think he's got that breakaway deal and I think him and the starter are going to be...
Singletary
and him are going to make some noise. Again, I think their weapons are as good as Cincinnati, if not better. I think they have a better tight end situation. I think Stephon Diggs is just as good as Ja'Marr Chase and Gabe Davis is as solid as T. Higgs. I mean, again, I think that Buffalo is going to beat them by a touchdown. I'm not going to say double digit, but I think they're going to beat them by a touchdown.
Interesting. I like the Bengals just because Joe Cool, man. I don't doubt that guy anymore because he's done it with less. I think they are a better team. I think their offensive line was worse last year, and they got all the way to the Super Bowl. Let's see what happens, right? But I think when it comes down to it, Buffalo's everybody's doubting us, let's put that to bed. So I do agree with that. Let's go ahead and jump to the nightcap on Sunday. An old school NFC rivalry. Okay, Dallas Cowboys versus the San Francisco 49ers. It seemed like in the 90s, this was a lock every year.
It was.
Well, this is going to be the second year in a row.
It was great.
So both teams coming back into into prominence. I think... I can speak for all of us here that we are heavily on San Francisco. But again, the Dallas Cowboys do have the firepower to keep up with them. Okay, they are extremely athletic. I think they are the faster team overall. But, you know, who knows? Let's see what happens. Grizz, what are your thoughts?
Well, the Cowboys do have a really good offense. I mean, they came off Dak's best game of the year, I would say, throwing 4 touchdowns, running for 1. Once again, it's all about Dak. You're going to make turnovers. The Cowboys don't turn the ball over, they win games. The moment they make the penalties and the turnovers, they lose. You're going against probably the best defense. You're probably going against, you know, the hottest team. You're going against probably the hottest quarterback. You know, he's undefeated. I mean, everything says Niners. We're gonna now speak in a second with our coach here that will disagree, I'm sure.
Sure is.
But
sure am. I'm that one guy that's gonna take Dallas.
I honestly can tell you if the name was something else, I would agree with him. But because I'm a very proponent of disliking this team, I still pick the Niners, but I understand whatever he's going to say will make all the sense in the world. And if you were to put a dollar on it, I think you would win whatever he says. This is a pure on my heart. I dislike the Cowboys. I say they lose. I say the Niners win this by a touchdown. And that's all I got. Dak's going to throw three picks.
Here's why I say the Niners win this game. Number one, I'm a Giants fan. I hate the Cowboys, right? Well, I love nothing more than to see them fail, you know, in phenomenal ways and fashions. Okay, like they have
Wouldn't you want to just play them in the NFC Championship game and do it yourself?
That would also be great. But again, I just don't think they get past this game. Number one, the Cowboys' defensive weakness is their run defense. And what we've seen from the San Francisco 49ers is their offensive game planning is top notch. Like they're going.
I'm gonna guarantee you something. Brock Purdy ain't gonna throw 66 passes. No. That I can guarantee.
No, I won't. That will not happen.
I don't think he's gonna have 26 passes.
Listen, they're gonna run inside out around. They're gonna throw the kitchen sink at them on the ground, and I don't think the Cowboys can keep up with that defensively. Okay, because I think what they do is Micah Parsons. You want to come and rush the passer off the edge? Or you want to be that dude that's everywhere? Guess what? Wherever you are, that's where we're running the ball. And we're going to attack you. And we're going to make you be a football player that has to be effective at the point of attack. That's what I think is going to happen in this game. And I think by neutralizing him and beating him into the ground, right, they're going to wear him out. And when it comes time for them to open up, play action, right, pass the ball downfield, he's going to be ground down. They got the Niners have the best fullback in the game right now. I think he's made the Pro Bowl 7 times or something like that. Okay? And you got a receiver who can run the ball. You have the best, you know, over the last 10 years, one of the best running backs in the game who seems to have had a resurgence the second half of the year, right? Along with a burner and Elijah Mitchell. I mean, I just think that it may get away from the Cowboys pretty quickly here if the San Francisco 49ers run game can get going. That being said, if it turns into a track meet on the edges, then the Cowboys, you know, may have a really good shot here. Numbers, talk to me, coach.
Number one, of course, the 49ers are a huge, huge popular play. Everybody loves them. At -3.5, it's a no-brainer. How could I not lay 3.5 against the sorry Cowboys? The Cowboys suck. They don't stand a chance. 3.5. The Grizz just said they're going to win by 7. The Niners are going to win by 7. With that being said, 79% of the tickets are on the Niners. The line hasn't moved. In fact, Circa has the line at -3.5, -115 for Dallas, which tells you that they're getting juice, that it could move to 3. Okay, and I went back and I did a little digging now. So I wanted to see something. Kyle Shanahan has been the head coach of San Francisco 49ers since 2017. Do you guys know who the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys is?
Dan Quinn.
Do you guys know where Dan Quinn was at from 2015 to 2020?
Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons, my goodness. So that tells me that Mr. Quinn has had a little bit of experience about facing the Kyle Shanahan offense. Okay, and some of the things that they can do and things of that nature. And in this game of football, that ends up being huge because your experience is something you can count on. And you can go back and take a look at what you did, how you were successful, how you were able to stop, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I mean, I think that's a great point because Dan Quinn was on the headset with this guy, so he knows probably better than anyone what his play call cadence is, what his ebbs and flows.
Like so that's I a said, great point. And he faced
him. Was he the D coordinator last year?
Dan Quinn was the head coach for the Falcons when Shanahan was there.
That I know.
Oh, okay.
He was DC. Okay? So again, that's who they talked about taking over from McCarthy this year.
No, I know.
Okay? So again, I think he's done a good job with that defense. I think that they're going to be able to play. The numbers tell me a lot. The numbers tell me, man, the line's not moving again. The line should be four and a half. It went to four at Bookmaker, which is an offshore account, and it went back to 3.5. So to me, that 3.5, 4 is right. It's not going to move from there. So no matter how much the public takes them, 3.5, 4 is a number. It's not going to go anywhere.
One thing is for sure here, Maher can't miss four PATs.
Maher can't miss anything.
Maher's not going to kick next week.
Maya. Well, I mean, they say they're sticking with him, so we'll see what happens.
Hopefully, he ain't going to kick next week. It's all going to be two-pointers.
Hopefully.
You think they're going to kick?
No. Hopefully they can put him in the middle of the field and kick from the middle instead of the left.
They're all going to be two-pointers when they're coming back from being down by 20.
But again, I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Seattle did a lot of good things this weekend that shows Dallas also what can be done. I think they ran the ball successfully against them, which I think they'll be able to do. I think Dallas will be able to run the ball.
You know, if we go back to last year's playoff game, though.
Yes.
Dallas only ran 77 yards total.
Yes.
For the game.
Yes.
San Fran had 170.
Yes.
On them.
Yes.
Without McCaffrey.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
I get you.
And that was Dan Quinn defensive led coach.
I get it.
So it's not like they haven't faced each other before, and they know.
Correct.
This man knows his cadences too.
Correct. Again, so, I
also want to tell you, I think this one's a little different on your the fans and everybody betting and everything. I just think people hate the Cowboys, man. It's about a hate pick more than a realistic pick. So I just think that one has a little skew. That one I think is skewed off.
Kind of nullifies a little bit.
Yeah, I think that one's skewed again, off. All your other ones, I get it.
If the big money ballers hate the Cowboys and we're taking that, the line would be at 4, 4.5.
Once and again.
So again.
My claim to fame is also.
We'll see.
The big money ballers aren't 100% right.
No, but at this time of the year.
This is
going
to be one of their non.
At this time of the year, they're usually pretty good.
They are. But once again, you lose one, and I think this is definitely the one.
Gentlemen.
Of all the games, this is the one I have circles for.
By the way, if you can get the under 47 in that game, mm-hmm. take under 47.
Yeah, it'll be an under game.
Yeah, the weather's not going to be very good.
Ooh, interesting.
It's going to be windy. It's going to be a little.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
A little sexy. It's going to be a little sexy.
Listen, one thing for sure is going to stack up to be a great divisional round weekend.
I hope so.
So exciting. This is the best weekend of football, like I say all the time. It's so fun to watch this. There will be a couple surprises, I bet. Okay, but we go by the numbers.
You can't right? have.
Gotta take your allegiance.
Coming into this,
I felt chalk because it just always feels that, but then it just never happens. There's four home games. There's going to be upsets. There's going to be the road team. The new age has finally arrived, by the way. This is the youngest group of quarterbacks that we've ever had.
Average Dak age Prescott, is 25.
Yeah, Dak Prescott's your old veteran at 29.
At 29.
The new guys are here. The old men's, the Rodgers, the Bradys.
And
time has gone.
Remember we talked about, and I brought that about the number one seeds losing. I mean, they're not a great ATS, and a bunch have been upset at this stage of the game. So
I also think the number one, now remember that we only have one bye week. So like had you had the number two seed, they used to have their bye week. It's, you know, I think it's better off for the teams to keep playing. The bye weeks are great for their health, but that's probably why they always struggle with the spread, because you got to like kick it back up, get back into rhythm. You're playing a team that the week before they had a good game. They played, they're in rhythm. So that's why, yes, you're always going to have that one seed probably be a little sloppy. We'll just see. Like I think it's more those one seeds will get back in rhythm as the game goes on. It's will the underdogs just bring that A game the whole game.
So, we'll finish off on this last thought here, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. What if, you know, the new age of quarterbacks, right? It's so deep with all of these young studs, okay? As opposed to what we grew up with and we've seen the last, you know, generation where it's one, two, or three deep at the top and then everybody else. We're talking about eight deep here, right? But also eight deep, very young quarterbacks, unlimited experience. So don't you think that also adds a different kind of angle or metric to the variance that we may see, right? The lack of experience playing in a little bit on this as they kind of beat each other up. until kind of the cream rises to the top, right? Because like you said, you think long term, Burrow is the better quarterback over a Josh Allen. Yeah, but right now, it's really too early to tell, right? They're
going to have like 6-7 years of playing in the playoffs, the Patrick Mahomes. All these guys, now Lawrence is going to step in. So he's the only guy really, you know, all the other guys in the AFC have played well in the playoffs. So they've already had their experience. You got Brock Purdy, once again, that's an outlier.
Outlier, for sure.
You know, you got the most luckiest situation to come in and, you know, handle this Ferrari for me and just, you know, don't crash it. And then you got you got Jones is finally stepping up. Hurts. These guys, they're getting their experience. They're
coming
now
into their own.
Yeah, they're coming into their own. Are they the top notch? Is every single player in here top 10? No. But some of them are about to get into that top 10, depending on how they, you know, the playoffs is where you get paid and you get your fame. So
two things are for sure here, right? To close it up, the guard has definitely changed, right? It is going to be a fun era of football. Rules have helped that a little bit, but it is going to be a fun divisional round weekend. So, we heard it here first on our picks. We're going to be right back to close out the show. Second show of the year. It's been another good one, right? Always best time of the year for football, obviously, in the playoffs. We're back. Closed it out with a little deep dive action. And I think Coach here is going to sprinkle some MMA after his deep dive picks as well. Should be pretty interesting. We got some good fights to look at as well.
Yeah, we have a good weekend. This weekend is a pay-per-view with Glover Teixeira as the main event. But again, just to recap, I like Jacksonville +8.5. I'm leaning towards Philadelphia -7.5. I took Buffalo already at -4. I teased them as well. I teased them with Philly and Kansas City. And then last but not least, I do like Dallas. I like Dallas +3.5. And I'm not going to lie to you, I might sprinkle something on the money line. Because San Francisco might be ripe for the upset. They're America's darlings. So I do think that they could be ready for a rough and tumble game. As far as the MMA is concerned, there's a number of good fights on hand. A couple of fights I'm going to be putting some money on. I like Warley Alves against Nicholas Dalby. Alves is a short favorite at -130. He's a solid wrestler, solid guy, kicks. I mean, he's just a good Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter. Let me access my notes here.
Oh, yeah, you love your iCloud notes for your fighters,
No, man,
huh?
I have them, man. I see them fight. I take notes on them, and because, again, there's just certain things that you got to be able to understand what they do. So, yeah, he's Brazilian, good kicks, and he's just a good jiu-jitsu fighter. The next young man I'm going to take a flyer on is a young man by the name of Ismael Bonfil. The both brothers are fighting. Ismael is fighting. He is a small underdog, and his brother, Gabriel, is a favorite. I'm taking Ismael, and I'm going against Gabriel. Ismael, again, is another young man. Looks like he's an up-and-comer. He's fighting Terrence McKinney, who's a pretty good fighter himself. But I like Bonfin's aggressiveness. I think he's good stand up on his feet. I think he's gonna be a good match. He's a little bit short as far as the length, but I think his wrestling is gonna be solid, and it's a good number to get him at. It's a good number to get him at. And then last but not least, I'm going with Munir Lazez. He's a guy that I've had on the radar for a little bit. He's a grappler. Also likes to kick. He's going to fight Gabriel Bonfim. This is a pretty evenly set match. Lazez does have a reach advantage. He's an excellent, excellent wrestler. And so is the other young man. So that's going to be a great fight. He is also a nice underdog at +140. 135, 140. This pay-per-view event is going to be the last one for Mauricio Shogun Rua.
Oh, wow.
He's an elder statesman of the MMA. One of the better guys. He was champion. One of the best fighters, really, that's ever gone into the octagon. Great fighter. The main event has Johnny Walker against Paul Craig. Lauren Murphy against Jessica Andrade. Should be Andrade should beat her. It's got Gilbert Burns against Neil Magny. Gilbert Burns is a 5-1 favorite, which is kind of crazy. And then it's got the co-main event of Davison Figueiredo, which is a champion against Brandon Moreno. That's another fight that can go either way. That's going to be a great fight. And then last but not least is Glover Teixeira against Jamahal Hill. Hill, I think, is one of the most exciting up-and-coming fighters in this division. He's not much of a grappler, which is where Glover is has his strength. Glover is 43 years old, but he never ceases to surprise me. Every time I don't bet against him or for him because I can't figure him out. When I bet for him, I lose. When I bet against him, he beats me. So, and again, to be honest with you,
and that's why he hates him.
I hate him, but I love him because he's such a competitor. He really is a great, great fighter. Hill is a short favorite at -130, I want to say. So again, I mean, I wouldn't discourage anyone from taking Jamahal Hill. He is a good fighter. He's solid. And he does have a length advantage on Glover. He's about -140. So again, the Gilbert Burns Neil Magny fight is on this card as well. It's another interesting fight. Neil Magny, like I said, Gilbert Burns is almost a 5-1 favorite. Neil Magny has reached cardio. It's going to be a very interesting fight. The main card is an excellent card, and there's some good fights up and down this pay-per-view.
Are we good?
And that's where we're at. That's it. Those are my three fights.
That's good stuff right there. Grizz, any parting thoughts on this second show of the 2023 year?
Nothing, just glad as always to be here, you know.
I'm sorry, Grizz, but your boy Thiago Moises is fighting in that fight as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know too many people, but I like that kid.
Yeah, he's on that card.
Yeah, man, I'm just glad the New Year's here, football. This is the sweet, you know, the sadness and the sweetness. Best football time of the year, but knowing that it's coming to an end soon. And in a couple weeks, we're going to have to be, I don't know, talking what? Draft 2023 and all the other
draft,
good stuff.
Draft, free agency.
Yeah, which is fine. I love talking about all that stuff, but I'm going to be missing the games. We'll have XFL, though. You know,
that will be fun.
That'll be cool, you know.
We got to get on our game for that one.
We got to find the angles on that guy, on those guys.
I need to be... that's why I'll be studying with Gil for the spreads on that, because I'm really not going to care about who wins or loses. That's all going to be about paper. You know? Rock, send me home with some money, man. But other than that, this is going to be a fun weekend. Hopefully, it always is, you know. This is the, you know, we just celebrated my birthday, the Gil Ski's birthday's tomorrow. So January is a very fun month for us. You know, we were given good times to be born so that we can enjoy these amazing games.
We have reasons for get-togethers.
Yeah. Well, it's my you know, the older we get, I honestly could care less about a birthday. It's more about, hey, try to get people together. We tried to get, you know, something together. It didn't happen this year because we have poopy friends. But other than that
we do.
Yeah, you know. Get together for any other thing, but, you know, people's lives
birthday?
When they're born.
Why?
But and that's, to me, I've always said it's the best way to, hey, honey, it's his birthday. Gotta go. You know? And then all hell can break loose after that. But I'm good to go, man. Ready? I'm just looking forward, man, to some fun football.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Gentlemen, Coach Grizz, happy birthday. Okay. Wish you many more, and it should be fun as the show continues to grow. I want to close out by thanking our sponsors, General Carnitas Gourmet Meat. Visit them at generalcarnitas.com for all of your premium meat options. And also prodigycoaches.com. Visit them for all of your K-12 tutoring needs. Two coaches, one Grizz.